You see, the mission of the church is not as complicated as we've made it. When we're bringing glory to God and we're steadfast in the faith, simply trusting God, there's going to be three things that we will be involved in. And this is where the church needs to see revival begin to take place. Three things. If these things are not even on your radar and you're not actively involved in it, you, as well as me, will definitely need God's reviving to bring us back, to draw us near. Number one, the kingdom of God, the people of God that are walking in the life of Christ, that are bringing glory to His name, that are living by faith, they are reaching people for Jesus. Reaching people for Jesus. If we're going to walk by faith and God lead us, He always says, what was the Great Commission? Go ye therefore and do what? Make disciples of all the nations, teaching them those things which I taught you, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus. That's right. Baptize them. And He says these words, and lo, I am with you unto the ends of the world. You see, lo is always found in the go. When you're going, when we're going and doing what He's called us to do, reaching people for Jesus, you can anticipate the favor of God upon your life. You can anticipate the presence of God upon you. You don't have to plead and beg God to be with a man that's reaching people for Jesus. Matter of fact, Jesus is leading that man to reach people for Him. Amen? Amen. He's all over him. He's with him. He's walking with him. He's leading him. He's favoring him. And if I don't have this aim and objective to bring glory to Him by reaching people for Jesus, that's not even in my radar. I'm telling you, you need reviving. Amen?
Amen.
Because that is a command as well as a commission for us to operate in. And that's where we have authority. We have authority against the enemy when we are going in Jesus' name. Matter of fact, if you think about some of the armor that God tells us to recognize we are in a battle, one of those particular pieces of armor that we're to put on, He said, shod your feet with what? The gospel of peace. You see, if I'm not active and intentional and investment in reaching people for Jesus, my feet are not even being shod with the gospel of peace. I'm not bringing Jesus to a world around me. What I'm doing is I'm distracted. I've let things get a hold of me, and I'm just living in this world, letting this world dictate me rather than letting Jesus lead me. But when He's leading me, I'm thinking about ways how I can reach people for Him. Thinking about ways how I can be praying for others to reach people for Jesus. A kingdom-minded person always has fruit on their mind. They're always looking for ways that they can share the gospel with someone. Because I want to tell you, a kingdom-minded person, the gospel is their life. Amen.
Amen.
It's the lifeline. They cling into the message of the cross. Why? Because Jesus is their righteousness. Jesus is their hope. Jesus is everything to them. And when you treasure something, people don't have to wonder what it is. Amen.
Amen.
Y'all know a few people around here that treasures a few things that are not up to par, not that good. And they don't mind displaying what they treasure. None of us do. Because when you treasure something, you are protected. When you treasure something, you will invest in it. It's like your bride, like my bride. I treasure her. So people don't have to wonder if I love her, if I care for her. I'm going to let everybody know that she's the heart of our home. She's my life. And I like being with her. And people are going to look back. They're not going to wonder, well, did Nick love Stephanie? No, I treasure her. So everybody knows that. Well, when you treasure Jesus, everybody's going to know it. Amen.
Amen.
Can't hide it. Reaching people for Jesus. Well, that's what the church is doing right now. Reaching people for Jesus. And when they reach people for Jesus, what's the second thing they're doing? They're teaching people about Jesus. They're teaching people about Jesus. Isn't that what the scripture says? Gather together under the teaching or the preaching of the word of God. Ephesians chapter 4. Didn't he say God gave gifts to men, and part of those gifts were apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers for the equipment of the saints for the ministry? There's a constant process of what the believer is doing, whether it's in his home with his wife, or his wife with the children, or the father with the children, or in the church. A kingdom-minded, sold-out, revived person has a heart to reach people and teach people about Jesus. They're always looking for ways to illustrate how I can teach you something that he's doing in my life right now. Amen. And that's not set apart just for the Sunday school teacher. It's not set apart just for the preacher or the pastor. That is what we as believers do. What did he tell the believers then? Go in all the world, make disciples, teach them of me. And the only way to make a disciple is you got to teach. Amen.
That's right.
And people that are living for Jesus today are reaching and teaching people about him. The third thing, they're equipping people to serve Jesus. You see, that's what our mission and how we bring glory to Jesus is, simply reaching people for him, teaching people about him, and equipping people to serve him. And I want to tell you, church, we in this day have dropped the ball on those basic, simple things. And it has had a drastic effect on our communities. It's had a drastic effect upon our nation and around the world. Because somehow or another, we've been distracted. This old world has pulled us into its grips, and we're just not reaching people. We're not teaching people, and we're not equipping people. That's not that complicated. Now, I can't do that without his help, amen? I need his presence. I need his help. But you need, I need to be involved in it. I need to give my money toward it. I need to be supporting it. I need to encourage those that are in the front lines of the battle. But I can't just give them all the accountability and the responsibility. I have to take that upon myself. I mean, they've got little boys and girls. Matter of fact, we pulled up. There was four or five boys out there playing basketball at the basketball court. But the day he came and he walked out there, I walked out there with him. He came and I asked him if they would like to come. There's people everywhere. I guarantee you there's hundreds to thousands of people out there that we pass on a regular basis that don't know a thing about Jesus. Never been taught anything about Jesus, much less equipped to serve him. But that's what we as the body of Christ ought to be about. Think about it like this. You ever been in a restaurant and you had a waitress or a waiter that just didn't do a good job at what they were supposed to be doing? What does that do to you? When you're paying pretty good money for this food and they serving you, and whether the food's good or bad or whatever, but they lack in their service to you. Meaning they don't keep your sweet tea filled. That ever happen? They don't come check on you. In our day, everybody's pinching a penny. They don't like to give you no napkins. Are you with me? You go to get a snowball, they don't want to even give you a straw. You know, it's just one of those things. Everybody holding back. And you know how that makes you feel when you're sitting there. Don't you like blessing people? When people serve you and they pay attention to you and your need, and they looking out for you, and they like to bless you, they keep your water filled up, they keep you with lemons on the table, they keep your tea in there. I mean, they're constantly looking for ways to bless you. And in return, what do you want to do? You tip them good. You bless them. How many of y'all don't tip some folks that don't do you, treat you good? You know what I'm talking about. Now, I'd encourage you to still tip them. You don't have to tip them as good as you did somebody else. But in our day, service is lacking in a lot of places. I mean, you go in, they act like you there to serve them, not them there to serve you. Are you with me?
Yeah.
And that doesn't that bother you? It irritates you. Now, you can live with it and keep moving on, and you see that. But think about it if it was your doctor. You see, the more critical things get, if your doctor's not paying attention to your needs and he's not listening to you and he doesn't research and find out what's going on with you, what do you normally do? You're going to change. You're going to go find another doctor, right? Why? Because we're talking about something critical here. We're talking about life. We're talking about something physical that I need to live and survive. And I want somebody to look after me. And they don't have to pull out the red carpet before me, but they can at least be what I'm paying for. Because you are paying them, aren't you?
Yep.
Now, you know how all that makes you feel. Now, and imagine, turn around this. Sometimes we forget to really evaluate, well, how well am I serving Jesus? How well am I reaching people, teaching people, and equipping people to serve Him? And if we really evaluated it and took a good look at my life, you took a good look at your lives, I want to tell you, we could probably all stand for a good reviving. Amen?
Amen.
That the Lord will help us. I was thinking about that song that we were singing, those 10,000 reasons why, when he kept saying, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Thought about Psalm 103, which says, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and forget not all his benefits. The word forget in Psalm 103 is a word that means to, not that you necessarily totally forgot, it means you mislaid something. How many of you ever mislaid your keys before? You coming in, how many of y'all got a certain place where you put your key? When you come in, it's a certain, you put it there every single time. How many of you do that every single time? You see, it's that time that you don't do it. You ever been coming in, you had groceries, ladies or guys, you had a handful of stuff. You come in the door, you got your keys, and the phone rings. And you walk over to the phone, you set your groceries down, and you grab the phone, and you put your keys somewhere. And then they get knocked off in a drawer or something, or put in the bag, or thrown in the trash, and you go looking for them, and you can't find them. You ever done that? It's not that you forgot them. You just mislaid them. Something distracted you and put them away. There was a time, Stephanie did that to us one day. We couldn't find the keys nowhere, and they had fallen in a drawer. She don't remember doing it.
No.
She don't remember doing it. But they fell in a drawer, and we couldn't find them, and they was in an odd place. She didn't forget them. She just mislaid them because she was distracted with something else. And that is what we often have to remind ourselves. Don't get distracted with other things. I want to tell you, our God has forgiven us of all our iniquity.
That's right.
I mean, He has clothed us with His righteousness. Amen. Sometimes we forget that we are a child of God. Not that we forgot it. We just get distracted, misled, and we start looking like everybody else. And we're not reaching people. We're not teaching people. Mm-hmm. And we're not equipping people. And I want to tell you, if I ever get out of that, those three things, that is a beacon shining into my life. Nick, you need revival. You've gotten distracted. Because if you're going to serve Jesus and you're going to bless Him, you're going to be, you may not reach everybody. You may not reach even half of what somebody else reaches. But I want to tell you, your heart is to be about reaching people. And when I say just reaching people, I'm talking about you. How many of you got a spouse in the home? How many have children? I counsel with a lot of moms and dads, and they so concerned about not going to Africa or not going down to Trinidad or not going here. And you got to remind them that, look, you have a mission field within the confines of your home. Amen. You have a mission field within your church. You have a mission field within your community. Get busy with that mission field. And if God wills, He'll open up an opportunity for you to go somewhere else and go. But pay attention to right where you are every day. Everything is a teachable moment for a child of God. Amen.
Amen.
Matter of fact, turn to Colossians. Turn to Colossians. Y'all saying, brother, he ain't even got in Joshua yet. It's going to be a long night. Just hold on now. Turn to Colossians. Look in Colossians chapter number 3. Why is this idea of teaching so fundamental? Why is it so important? Because the Bible tells us that the new man that we are in Christ as a new creation, the only way that new man is renewed refreshed, revived, is through the knowledge of Him who created us as a new creation. Notice what chapter number 3 and verse number 9 says. Verse 8 talks about putting off things of the flesh. Verse 9 says, do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man and his deeds. That's just the old nature, the old person. You've put that off, but you are to put on, verse 10, and you have put on the new man, the new creation. And the new man is renewed in what? Knowledge. There's no other way that we as believers, as a new creation, that we are renewed except through knowledge. And that knowledge is specific. It's directed toward Him who created us. Notice what He says. Verse 10 again. And you have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according, in tune with, in line with the image of Him who created him. It is impossible. It is irreplaceable. There is no substitute for the new creation to grow and mature and be renewed and refreshed except through the channel of the knowledge of Christ, the one who created us and made us new creatures. That's the only way that we are renewed is through knowledge. That's why the teaching ministry of Jesus is so important. That's why we reach people and teach people, because it's in teaching them that they grow and mature. And as they're being taught, they're being equipped to serve Him. Amen. And it happens no other way. Matter of fact, turn to 2 Peter. Look in 2 Peter. I'll show you. 2 Peter chapter 1. Notice what verse number 2 says. 2 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 2. He says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through what? Knowledge. Through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be a partaker of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world. The only way that we are renewed as the body of Christ is through the knowledge of Him who created us. Mm-hmm. It's no different than if you took a bean. How many of y'all got y'all's gardens going good right now? How many of y'all got some pole beans? You take that one, take one bean and set it aside for next year's plant for sowing. You and I have no idea the potential of that one bean. That one bean can produce a bunch of beans from here on out. It can just grow, but it will not ever grow unless you do what? You got to plant it. It's got to be planted. That's the only way that bean is going to grow. It's got to go through a germination process to mature, to plant. If you keep it out, put it out on your dresser, keep it in your pocket, put it somewhere, it'll stay a single bean as long as you have it. The only way it will grow, you got to put it through the process that God's designed. And that process is through sowing and reaping. And you and I will not grow. This new man won't be renewed unless it is renewed through the knowledge of Him who created us.
Amen.
And that is a continual process. Matter of fact, turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Notice what verse number 1 says. Verse 11 closes with, chapter 11, verse 36 closes with, for of Him, that would be of God, and through Him and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever and ever. And all God's people said?
Amen.
And because it's of Him and through Him and for Him, we then present our bodies through His mercy, our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God, which is our reasonable service. Our act of worship is by giving our bodies unto the Lord day in and day out. He says, don't let this world squeeze you. Don't be conformed to this world. Don't let the world mold you. The word conform means to mold, Logan. It means to squeeze out. It means it took time to work and formed with an intent to create something that it wanted it to be created. Not that we want it, but what the world wanted to do with us. See, the world has an objective to squeeze us out and form it into its way. So when we give ourselves to the world, we think the world's serving us, but we're actually serving it. It's conforming us. It's squeezing us into a mold. But he says, this is what we're to do. Not be conformed to the world, but be what? Transformed by the renewing of what? Your mind. Through knowledge of Him who created. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. With what intent? What's the purpose of this transformation? What's the purpose of this knowledge? What is the purpose of this? It is that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen?
Amen.
It's not going to happen unless we are being transformed by the renewing of our mind, which only comes through the knowledge of Him who created us, so that we bring glory to Him by proving what is His good and acceptable and perfect will. And I want to tell you, anybody walking in revival is walking in that. They are reaching people, teaching people, and equipping people to walk in His perfect will. Amen?
Amen.
To Him be the glory.
Amen.
And I want to tell you, as a disciple, as a new creation, you have everything you need to fulfill those simple three basic callings upon our life, just like Joshua had been prepared by God to lead the people of Israel into the promised land. Now look at Joshua real quick, just quick as we close. We may tie in some more of this as this weekend goes on. But notice what he told Joshua, how this was going to happen. Joshua is now hearing directly from the Lord. Any time prior to this, as long as Moses was living, God always spoke to Moses and then spoke through Moses to Joshua. But Joshua received it as if it was directly from the mouth of God. But now God's speaking to him directly. And so he's giving him a word. And notice what he says in verse 6. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance to the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. I want to tell you, God's got a plan to reach people, don't he? God's got a plan to teach people. God's got a plan to equip people. That's part of the inheritance that He's given to us in this promised land of Christ that we have. And we take part in that. We are in that. We just need to be strong and courageous to walk in what He's given us. And as we do, God's presence, God's favor is upon our life to fulfill this calling. He says in verse 7, only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all that is in the law of Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it from the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. Why? That you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. What would be the purpose? Then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Verse 9, have not I commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Three things God told Joshua. Number one, he gave him a plan how to fulfill this. Number two, he gave him a reason for the plan, the purpose of it. And number three, he gave him a prize, the outcome of the plan. What is it? What's the plan? How are we going to be renewed, transformed? How is this going to happen? No different than it happened with him. We need to be meditating upon the Word of God. What does it mean to meditate? It means to chew on. It means to, the same word that he said, it shall not depart from your mouth. Do y'all have any murmurers around here? Y'all got any gossips in Eldridge community? in Jasper, Walker County? Is anybody murmurer? You know, murmurers are people that just keep bringing stuff up over and over again. I mean, they won't let things die. Have you ever been around somebody that just won't let it go? They just keep bringing it up over and over. Okay, you say, look, I know. I've done confessed it. I've done got it right. Will you forgive me? And they keep bringing it up over and over. They like dragging you through the mud. Are you with me?
Yep.
Well, the same principle comes to with the Word of God, that you just won't let it go. You just keep keeping it in your mouth. You keep chewing on it. You swallow it. You bring it back up. It's like chewing the cud on a cow. A cow has what? Four stomachs. And they chew it and they regurgitate it. And they chew it again and they regurgitate it. I know that sounds nasty and ugly, but that's just how the way God made them. Why? They're getting all they can get out of that piece of grass. They're getting all the nutrients out of it. It takes multiple stomachs to do that. But they're getting every ounce of the nutrients out when they are chewing on the cud, when they're meditating. And that is what God wants us to do out of the Word. That we constantly bringing it up in our mind and in our mouth. We speaking it when we're around people. Why? He wants us to get the most out of what he said. Amen?
Amen?
Not in passing. Not that we gather here and you hear a word and you just go about your merry business, or you do your Sunday school and you go about your merry business, or you read your devotion in the morning and you just go about business as usual. No. He wants you to get everything you can get out of it. Chew on it and mull over it and think about it and ponder it. And absorb every ounce of nutrients that he has in his word into your being. Why? It's going to transform you. Amen.
Amen.
Because that's how he works. I want to tell you, God is the same today as he was yesterday and as he will be forever. He is not going to work any different than what he did with Joshua. How he's going to work with you and me. And he teaches us to meditate. That's the plan. Meditate on it. Get all you can out of it. What's the reason for the plan? So that you can keep. So you can obey. So that you can live, observe, do what he said to do. Amen. That's the reason. That's the purpose of it. That's why we're to meditate upon it. So that we can live it out. We can live it out. Day in and day out. Not that we're dysfunctional. Not that we are not good servants. No, that we can live it out. That we can be reaching people, teaching people, equipping people to bring glory to God. Going through the hard things. Going through the easy things. Living in comfort. Living in peril. Whatever it may be. Just living it out God's way. What's the outcome of that? What's the prize of that? His presence. His presence upon life. He said, Joshua, everything you do, you will prosper and have good success. I'll give you wisdom. I'll give you clarity. I'll give you confidence. I'll give you everything you need to fulfill my word, to divide the inheritance that I've given my people. You'll be able to do it if you stick with my plan. So that you can live it out. So that your way will be successful and prosperous. Kingdom work. Doing my work. Amen.
Amen.
That's not complicated, is it? But I want to tell you, you can't do it in the flesh. Can't do it naturally. You got to be strong.
Amen.
And you got to be courageous.
Amen.
The word strong in this passage means to have a firm grip. It means to lay hold. We lay hold of these things in faith. And we take, it has the idea, Brother David, of taking responsibility. You see, a man that takes responsibility for his family will protect his family, will provide for his family. We live in a day when nobody wants to take responsibility for things. Before Joshua will be able to fulfill this plan, walk in this purpose and prosper, he had to take responsibility for the call upon his life. The word courage literally means to be alert, to be aware. It has the idea, Mr. John T., of being accountable. And when we take responsibility and accountability for the call that God has given upon our life, we're able to go through the hard things or the good things, the difficult things and the easy things. Why? We understand we have been called by God. We've been given a mission to accomplish. I've taken personal responsibility. I've laid hold of it. And in faith, I'm gripping on what God's given me to do. I'm accountable to Him and unto His people. And therefore, now I will feed upon His word. I will walk by faith and obey Him. And I will watch Him provide a path of clarity and confidence for me to live out the mission that He has given me. And then all I have to remember, just like He told him, God says, Joshua, have not I commanded you? You see, it was in that command God gave him that gave Joshua the authority to take responsibility. It was in the command God gave him that gave him the authority to take accountability. It was in the command that God gave him that he could walk in confidence in the will and the work God, dependent upon Him. Amen?
Amen.
And the same thing applies for you and me. Tonight, I have to take responsibility and be accountable that God has called me to a mission, and that is to live a life with the intention to reach people, to help teach those that we reach, and then equip those that we're teaching to serve Jesus with all their life.
Amen.
I want to be involved in it. Amen?
Amen.
And if I'm not, I need to ask God for His mercy and for God to arrest my heart and my mind and begin to renew me. But I can't expect it if I'm not willing to take that responsibility. Because God said if a man doesn't approach or take Him in faith, he can't expect anything from Him. Nothing. He's unstable. He's tossed to and fro. And I want to tell you, we serve a mighty God.
Amen.
Man, is He mighty. He turns the impossible, He makes the impossible possible for me and you. We just simply trust Him and walk with Him. Amen.
Amen.
And let Him work. Father, we ask You tonight, we thank You for this time we've been able to gather together. We thank You for Your revelation. We thank You for Your help. We do understand. I pray tonight that You help us see that it's impossible for us to be renewed and transformed apart from the knowledge of You who created us. And therefore, we put ourselves in position to hear from You. We want to be in position. We want to trust You. We want to submit to You. Lord, we know we've got a flesh in this old world and the enemy that is fighting against us, but You're greater than all three of them. You're greater than everything, and we want to submit to Your authority, Your sovereignty, who You are in Your way. And we know that You can do exceedingly and abundantly more than we can ever ask or imagine. Lord, I pray that You help us in faith tonight. Take this responsibility and get a firm grip on it in faith. That we would be strong and courageous, accountable to You, and that we would get all that You have for us in Christ. So we thank You. We pray that You continue to speak to Your people. In Jesus' name.